NATO says it's reviewing all ties with Russia.
The accident scene tells the story. There it is.
Chinese ambassador tweeting.
Overnight, it was a joyride.
Ukraine has seen a lot of changes in a short amount of...
What should I listen?
Confused about different news sources? Radio CUC English Weekly Focus will bring you selected and organized news from home and abroad, only on every Monday.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Focus with news on China and the world. I'm Feng Guorui.
And I'm Wang Ruochen. Today's Monday, 19th of October, the sixth week of this term.
Today, the special edition of Weekly Focus will focus on a comprehensive review on hottest news happened in this summer vacation from home and abroad.
Hope you can get a clear review of the news stories and focus on the truth and facts with us.
Today, our topic includes...
President Xi Jinping paid his visit to the United States of America.
中国将始终做世界和平的建设者，坚定走和平发展道路。
China will continue to participate in building world peace. We're committed to peaceful development.
A large-scale refugee crisis erupted in Europe.
Vilket Europa ska vi ha?Vilket Europa ska vi vara?
We need a comprehensive and permanent system to make all EU countries take care of people fleeing for their lives.
The Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine went to Chinese female scientist Tu Youyou.
And the other hat to Youyou too for her discoveries concerning a novel therapy against malaria.
And comment on foreign media's impact on Chinese students.
The world isn't black and white, as people like to say, back last century were.It's really about getting to know one. It's about getting together, finding a good solution that will benefit everyone.
And this is special edition of Weekly Focus.
Good evening. Welcome to summer review of special edition of Weekly Focus.
Now let's pick up from what we left from last semester and start looking into the hot topics.
President Xi Jinping landed in Seattle in the afternoon of September 22nd, local time, starting his seven-day visit to America. In his first speech at the United Nations as China's president, he addresses a range of international challenges, including eradication of poverty. The speech concerns Millennium Development Goals, peace and development, the post-2015 development agenda, more equal development, and South-South cooperation.
First is the opportunity to more fully expand our cooperative engagements with China. Each passing year, there are more and more areas with environment, economic, political, and it's a great opportunity. The second opportunity is from our frank discussion between our two countries. It's quite clear to me that we're entering into a new phase in the relationship.
President Xi Jinping and U.S. President Barack Obama held one private meeting that lasted 3 hours and included a private dinner, one welcoming ceremony, one press conference, one formal and closed-door talk, and one state dinner in 2 days from September the 24th to 25th, 2015.
I think it's very important that President Xi make very clear to both American leaders and American business people and the American public that China has been on a...course of reform and opening for almost 40 years, and that trend is simply going to continue. And China's economy has been growing and becoming of higher quality, and that trend is simply going to continue. And China is becoming more interdependent and interrelated to the world economy, and the world has become more interrelated with the Chinese economy, and that trend is simply going to continue.
Li Cheng, director of the John L. Thornton China Center at the Brookings Institution,that the Chinese President Xi Jinping's week-long trip to the United States managed to change the suspicion and pessimism held by Americans toward the Sino-U.S. relationship. He cited Xi's speech in Seattle to a group of American entrepreneurs as answering concerns that many people have about China's economy prospects.
Also, President Xi Jinping announced at a forum on women's rights at the UN headquarters, China will donate $10 million to the United Nations. The president also vowed that in the next 5 years, China will help developing countries to build 100 projects related to healthcare of women and children, send medical teams and help girls from poor families to gain access to education.
The 70th session of the United Nations General Assembly kicks off its annual high-level debate early this morning at the UN headquarters in New York. Member states of the UN have taken the opportunity to address to the world their concerns on core international issues. Chinese President Xi Jinping has made his first speech at the UN General Assembly, saying that China will never give up its pursuit of peaceful development.
中国将始终做世界和平的建设者。
China will continue to participate in building world peace. We're committed to peaceful development. No matter how the international landscape may evolve and how strong it may become, China will never pursue hegemony, expansion, or its sphere of influence.
He says all countries are equals, no matter big or small, rich or poor, and a partnership should be built in which countries treat each other as equals, engage in mutual consultation, and show mutual understanding.
联合国宪章贯穿主权平等原则，世界的前途命运必须由各国共同掌握。
The principle of sovereign equality underpins the UN Charter. The future of the world must be shaped by all countries. The principle of sovereignty means that the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of countries are inviolable, and their internal affairs are not subjected to interference. It also means that all countries' right to independently choose social systems and development paths should be upheld, and that all countries' endeavors to promote economic and social development and improve their people's lives should be respected.
While addressing the General Assembly, President Xi Jinping also announced a decision to establish a 10-year, $1 billion U.S. China-UN Peace and Development Fund to support the UN's work.
我宣布中国 将加入新的联合国维和能力待命机制。
I wish to announce that China will join the new UN peacekeeping capability readiness system, decided to take the lead in setting up a permanent peacekeeping police squad and build a peacekeeping standby force of 8,000 troops. I also wish to announce that China will provide a total of 100 million of free military assistance to the African Union in the next 5 years.To support the establishment of the African standby force and the African capacity for immediate response to crisis.
In regards of the international order, the Chinese president has stressed the country's determination to stay committed to the path of development through cooperation.
中国是第一个在联合国宪章上签字的国家。
China was the first country to put its signature on the UN Charter. We will continue to uphold the international order and system underpinned by the purposes and the principles of the UN Charter. China will continue to stand together with other developing countries, especially African countries, in the international governance system. China's vote in the United Nations will always belong to the developing countries.
In addition to Chinese President Xi Jinping, other state leaders such as U.S. President Barack Obama, Russian President Vladimir Putin, and Iranian President Hassan Rouhani have all addressed to the General Assembly. The general debate session will last for about 6 days.
There. In his speech at the UN Sustainable Development Summit, the president elaborated on China's stance on global development. He called for equitable, open, and all-around development. We know the centerpiece of this year's Development Summit is the adoption of the post-2015 Sustainable Development Agenda, so this could be interpreted as the Chinese government's interpretation of the way of implementing the SDGs. At the South-South Cooperation Roundtable, President Xi said the new era of South-South cooperation requires countries to respect each other's development path and better coordinate their policies. It should bring about more concrete benefits and help to reform the global governance system. Another highlight would be a slew of support measures announced at the roundtable. China will establish a system fund for South-South cooperation with an initial pledge of $2 billion in support of developing countries' implementation of the 2030 Development Agenda. China will continue to increase investment in the least developed countries, aiming to increase its total to $12 billion by 2030. At the Gender Equality Summit, President Xi wrote out a 4-point proposal. He called on the international community to make women's development part of their social and economic policies and protect women's rights as they are basic human rights. He also said an inclusive society is needed to better protect women's rights, and the international community should build a global environment favorable for women's development. To support women's development worldwide, China will donate $10 million to UN Women.
The next one is about the European refugees. The images of toddlers left as body on Turkish beach have reverberated across the globe, stirring public outrage and embarrassing political leaders as far away as Canada, where authorities had rejected an asylum application from boys' relatives.
The picture depicted the dark-haired toddler wearing a bright red t-shirt and shorts, washed up on a beach, lying face down in the surf not far from Turkish fashionable resort town of Bodrum.
It has become Europe's problem. A human tragedy is happening. All of us should see that Turkey cannot be held responsible alone for the unfair suffering. This is a humanitarian situation, and all of humanity must contribute.
Thousands of people, mostly Syrians, fleeing war and the brutal occupation by Islamic fundamentalists in their homeland. The boy's death was part of a grim toll of some 2,500 people who have died this summer attempting to cross the Mediterranean to Europe.
The French government has revealed plans to dispatch reconnaissance planes over Syria starting this Tuesday to help with the fight against the Islamic State. President François Hollande saying attacks being coordinated out of Syria have targeted numerous countries, including France.
C'est depuis la Syrie, nous en avons la preuve que sont organisées.
We have proof that it's from Syria that attacks are being organized against several countries, and notably ours. My responsibility is to ensure we're informed best about the threats that weigh on our own country in order to confront it. That is why I have asked the Minister of Defense that from tomorrow we conduct reconnaissance flights over Syria.
At the same time, though, Hollande also ruling out ground operations by French troops. French Air Force is among those taking part in the bombing raids against the Islamic State positions in Iraq. However, the French government has been unwilling to allow its Air Force to hit targets in Syria. France, a former colonial power, still has significant ties in the region, including neighboring Lebanon.
After weeks of indecision, the European Union voted on Tuesday to distribute 120,000 asylum seekers among member states, a plan meant to display unity in the face of the largest movement of refugees on the continent since World War II.
Nearly 500,000 migrants and refugees have arrived in Europe this year, according to the United Nations High Commissioner of Refugees, a number that's only expected to rise.
Instead, the decision, forced through by a majority vote, over the bitter objections of four Eastern members, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Romania, and Slovakia.
Swedish Prime Minister Stefan Löfven is calling on the EU to come up with a coordinated response to massive inflows of migrants.
Vilket Europa ska vi ha? Vilket Europa ska vi vara?
We need a comprehensive and permanent system to make all EU countries take care of people fleeing for their lives. The EU must take care of more refugees, and we in Sweden will do our part for that system.
Germany, the favored destination of many because of its welcoming attitude and generous benefits, expects to take in up to 800,000 and possibly even 1 million refugees this year.
It's really important to just give a sign to them that they are welcome and they don't have to fear of Europe and that especially Germany is a warm country for them and that they don't have to fear and that they are safe and that they just don't have to sleep another days and nights on the streets because it's such a horrible thing.
The official summit communique stressed that all EU member states share the commitment to dealing with the migration crisis together. We all recognize that there are no easy solutions and that we can only manage this challenge by working together in a spirit of solidarity and responsibility, the statement from EU leaders said.
Another news story recently is about the Nobel Prize winner. 84-year-old Tu Youyou wins for her work in pharmacology and China has its first Nobel Prize in medicine. The Nobel Assembly at Karolinska Institute, which awards the Nobel Prize in physiology or medicine, said on Monday that Tu discovered artemisinin, a drug that has significantly reduced the death rate of malaria patients and saved millions of lives across the globe, especially in the developing world.
The Nobel Assembly at the Karolinska Institute has today awarded the 2015 Nobel Prize in Physiology and Medicine, with one hat jointly to William C. Temple and Satoshi Omura for their discoveries concerning a novel therapy against infections caused by roundworm parasites, and the other hat to Yu-Yu Tu for her discoveries concerning a novel therapy against malaria.
The winners of the 2015 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine will share an award of $960,000, and half of the prize went to Tu for developing a drug that fights malaria, and the other half shared by William Campbell of Ireland and Satoshi Omura of Japan for discovering therapies against infections caused by roundworm parasites.
Yu-Yu Tu got half of this year's Nobel Prize for her discovery of artemisinin, and she did that from an herb. So she was the one who identified that artemisinin annua herb, the Chinese artemisinin branch, contains a compound, artemisinin, that actually has the best effect against malaria parasite that has ever been found.
The assembly said that discoveries that help fight parasitic disease are crucial because those diseases affect the world's poorest populations and represent a huge barrier to improving human health.
After the result came out, China's Premier Li Keqiang has sent a congratulatory letter. In the letter, Li said that Tu's winning the prize signifies China's prosperity and progress in scientific and technological field, marking a great contribution of traditional Chinese medicine to the cause of human health, and showcases China's growing strength and raising international standing.
And actually, in 2011, Tu was awarded the Lasker Debakey Clinical Medical Research Award, popularly known as America's Nobels, and many expected Tu to win the Nobel that year. During this summer, have you watched American TV series, listened to Korean sounds, or played Japanese games?
For today's commentary, we will focus on the impacts of Western media on Chinese students. Our commentators Shirley and Zach will comment on this issue.
Good evening, I'm Shirley, and today our topic is foreign media's impact on Chinese students. And today we invite a very special guest to be our commentators. His name is Zach. Zach, please introduce yourself.
Hello everyone, my name is Zach. You can also call me Silver Dragon. Very nice to meet you all.
Where are you from, Zach?
Oh yes, I'm from the Philippines, and I'm currently studying here at CUC, taking up my master's degree in international journalism. Came here as a result of a government scholarship, and I'm glad to say that I've actually enjoyed my stay here so far.
Have you ever watched any, you know, Chinese TV series or Chinese movies since you came to China?
There was one that I watched and a few series, but the only one I remember most vividly was a movie called Special ID, but I don't remember the exact Chinese title. However, it's about a Hong Kong policeman who gets a little upset when his partner is replaced by a woman from the Chinese mainland. And then they get through all sorts of troubles, but they manage to work out the problems to solve the case at the end. And I found it very interesting because this is the kind of sort of a staple genre you would expect from foreign media. And to see it in a Chinese entertainment show really surprised me. And I thought it was an interesting development.
You know, during the summer, a lot of us have, you know, watched American TV series, listened to K-pop songs, or play foreign games. And I myself have watched, you know, the 5 seasons of Game of Thrones during the summer. Yeah, I really liked it. Foreign entertainment is more interesting and exciting to me. So, do you know how popular foreign media entertainment is in China?
Prior to having spoken to a few students, as well as a couple of my own professors, no, I had no idea. And when I would sometimes ask about it, I was surprised to tell me that that they would tell me like how much it has improved since then. That most of the reason why most Chinese students, according to them, would watch these foreign shows and take a huge interest in it is because the feeling is different. It comes off as something else entirely. I guess maybe it's a common curiosity among humans to be fascinated by what you're not sure, but like something new, something fresh.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think this kind of, I would say, phenomenon happens in China that we accept foreign culture more than our own culture?
Maybe, I guess, it's as a result of two possible things. One is the probable level of quality that you have with foreign shows, because with foreign shows, you usually get very complex plots, very in-depth and well-developed characters, a very vast setting, sometimes complicated, which can make things a bit difficult for a person who's not familiar. But because it's very new, it's very fresh, it fascinates people. And then there's also the issue of production value. How much money will you spend on this particular project to make it worth your while? Because the more resources you give the people who create this kind of entertainment, the more options they have to improve it and to make the experience for those who watch, who listen to music, or who play these games, make it more enjoyable.
Do you know that last year the government had a restriction towards, you know, all the foreign series, and there is a ban towards some of the foreign TV series, especially American TV series, and that we can't see them in time on the website. How do you think of that?
I think about that, it's a little sad, because I understand that the intention is to attempt to try promote your own country's entertainment. It doesn't actually help as much, because you're taking away like a basic interest of something. Like, if it's just a hobby, let them watch it. I don't really see why it should be banned. At the same time, I understand the motivations for that, because you want to make sure that things are kept in balance, that you can get this amount of time like that, but then at the same time, their top concern is probably like, oh, you have to prioritize education, you gotta work hard, like that. So I understand that maybe it's a matter of concern, because I think in their generation, their concern is about their country, making sure it's safe and secure. So I think that instead of looking at this as a negative, we try to see it as positive. It's not very hard, considering that here in the digital age, when you have the internet, we have social media, Weibo, WeChat, it makes things so much easier to just, you know, because all of these technological advantages that this generation has, it makes things a lot easier to communicate.
So back in Philippines, do you think there's any difference, you know, when watching foreign TV series or listening to foreign songs or playing foreign games?
Actually, yes. And you'd be surprised, though, because while the concern that you post here may be that the government's like holding back on foreign, in my country, it's the complete opposite, where the government says, okay, foreign investors, come in whenever you like. Mm-hmm. So 90% of our media is all foreign. Very few.
Really?
Yeah, a huge percentage of it. I mean, that's part of the reason why I'm speaking to you right now, like this. I don't sound like one of my own countrymen, but I am.
What do you think of your own culture, you know, the Philippine media's?
Mm-hmm. My country's media industry has relative freedom from whatever the government says, as long as they comply with the rules. Mm-hmm. Like, you pay your taxes, you just, you just air what's fair, you air what's true, that's fine. Occasionally, of course, we get into tangles with the government on certain sensitive issues, and sometimes the media respects those points because it understands concerns like national security or issues concerning money, you know. But then there are times when it can also get irresponsible, because with that freedom of media comes a level of responsibility that you have to observe, that you have to be professional, you cannot be biased. Problem is, of course, you know, sometimes people just get biased for various reasons. And media, not just reporting, but even with music, a lot of our songs, mostly from America. And then our games, mostly from Korea, Japan, sometimes I think as well here in China. But then at the same time, we've also done our fair share of, like, we have like a very popular indie Filipino music scene, which we like to call OPM, or original Filipino music. And then it's a thriving industry. It's not perfect, but we're pretty happy. And I don't know, maybe it's because my country is sort of used to accepting all this foreign information. It doesn't really bother us as much.
Some people on the internet have said that foreign culture has overwhelmed the Chinese teenagers. And do you think this kind of introduction of Western culture has a little bit bad influence on how we accept our own Chinese traditional culture? Do you think there's anything we should do about that?
Well, I understand that the cause for concern is very much valid. Mm-hmm. A great, strong country, you want to keep your heritage intact. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure your traditions are respected. And it's not really a problem if you want to raise those concerns. Everyone has the right to do that. But at the same time, I don't think it's too much of a problem because here in the 21st century, the world is becoming more and more globalized. Mm-hmm. Communities from one part of this planet to another part of the planet mm-hmm. are getting interconnected with technology, and we are now able to look at the world beyond Earth. Like, we can see other planets, and people are talking about in science how there might be life on other planets. Now, I'm probably going a little off topic here, but what I'm saying is that in this new generation, we can't afford to keep thinking of like all the old ways as the only ways by which we can live.
What should we students do, you know, to balance this kind of accepting our own culture and accepting foreign culture?
First and foremost, I think it is important to address the fact that there is a cause for concern. Whenever you introduce a new idea to a community mm-hmm. or brand new principles of looking at the world to a nation that is used to taking things a little at a time, you usually would be concerned because there are always going to be consequences to whenever you introduce a fresh idea. The thing about popular culture as a whole is that it's really all about the youth, or at least those who have the money to spend on, and like the sharing of all these ideas, things you might never have known unless you had the opportunity like several decades ago to travel across the world. I think it's opened up a lot of doors. Naturally, of course, the concern that, you know, you're using your culture like that, it's perfectly valid. If you are your parents' age, 40s, 50s, or 60s, you want your children to, like, to learn to appreciate the traditions of your country. At the same time, to say that it's a bad thing is a little unfair because, you know, by choosing not to embrace new things, choosing not to adapt to the current societies we are, you're holding back this generation from its full potential. I think that what can be done here is just let them explore their limits. Let them learn what they can and can't do, and allow them the freedom to just contribute to the benefit of the country. Mm-hmm. I remember that President Xi Jinping announced a few years ago something we call the Chinese Dream, like letting people pursue their individual interests to benefit the state. So just let loose, just relax. Mm-hmm. Let the young people do what they want, and ultimately it will benefit the country, precisely because by giving people that opportunity to pursue their own dreams, it will contribute to a lot of happiness, a harmonious society that China is always constantly striving for.
Can you give some suggestions to, you know, Chinese media industry?
Well, first and foremost, maintain the image and the standard of professionalism. Mm-hmm. It's always very important when you're in media, when you're reporting, in journalism, whether you're an anchor or you're a commentator. There is this standard you have to be. You cannot afford to be biased. Mm-hmm. Even if the government gives you an instruction mm-hmm. or the party says, okay, you cannot report on this, you have to be impartial about mm-hmm. it. Personal feelings should never get into the news. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, yeah. It destroys the concept of good journalism. Right? And the second is that for young people, I think they should try to not just explore the boundaries, but look at alternative means. The world isn't black and white anymore, as people like to say back last century were. It's really about getting to know them. It's about getting together, finding a good solution that will benefit everyone. Now, remember that not everyone can be happy, like, with any given instance. But if you can find the means to compromise, to negotiate a good deal, find something that can appeal both sides without really giving in all the way, like losing your principles, then I'm pretty sure things can work out in the end. Mm-hmm. It's not easy, but life never is.
Thank you. And to conclude your point, I think what you said is that Western media entertainment is not bad. It's good to be popular in China. And what we should do is to be motivated and accept the fresh things and just improve ourselves mm-hmm. instead. So thank you very much, Zach, for today's commentary. And we hope that we can see you soon in another episode.
Thank you very much again, Shirley.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley and Zach.
These are the selected news brought to you by the special edition of Weekly Focus. Thank you for being with us for the past half an hour.
In the following weeks of this semester, we continue to bring you the latest and organized news episodes, helping you to review and foresee from Weekly Focus.
Focus is on China and the world, only on Weekly Focus. I'm Wang Ruochen. See you.
And I'm Feng Guorui. See you.
更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。